Good day and welcome to Global Wafers 2020 Quarter 2 Results Call. During your presentation, your lines remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star 0 on your telephone and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties that this call is recorded for replay purposes. And now I'd like to welcome your host today, Sunny Lin. Please proceed.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon and good morning, everyone. I'm Sunny Lin, semiconductor analyst at UBS. It's our great honor to host GlobalWafers Management today for their second quarter 2020 earnings release. Now let me pass the call to Mr. William Chen, the spokesman of GlobalWafers, for opening remarks.
Thank you, Sunny. Hello, everyone. Welcome to join GlobalWafers 2Q20 earnings call. I'm Warren Chen, GlobalWafers Vice President and the company spokesman. We also have Doris Xu, Chairperson and the CEO of GlobalWafers in this call. Doris will give us the executive comments first, and then I will present industry overview, 2Q20 performance update, and the company ESG highlights. The final Q&A session will be hosted by Doris as usual. For today's presentation file, as always, we had uploaded onto a company website around 2 hours ago. If you do not have the file on hand, please access into our website to get the most updated file. Please note, some information during our discussion today will consist of forward-looking statements, which are applied throughout the call and this presentation. These are subject to significant risk and uncertainties. Actual result or trend could differ materially from our forecast. Please refer to the safe harbor notice in our presentation page 2 disclaimer. Now, I'd like to hand over the call to Doris for the page 3 executive comments. Doris, please. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to GlobalWafers second quarter and first half 2020 earnings conference. Well, macroeconomics, semiconductor wafer markets are still in tremendous flux now. Second quarter 2020 was very difficult due to coronavirus outbreak in not only China, but also many more countries in Asia, Europe, and America. Fortunately, in the second quarter, except some countries with special short-term temporary movement control order policy, basically GWC returned our normal operation to support our customers' demand, and at the same time, we continue to ensure the health and safety of all of our employees. Our Q2 overall performance was pretty good. Quarter over quarter, our second quarter results represented 1.4% increase in revenue, 7% increase in gross profit, 11.2% increase in operation profit, 18% increase in net income, and NT$1.19 per normal share, EPS up. That means that the whole Q2 EPS is as high as 7.81 per share. Our second quarter 2020 profitability edged up and beat the last three quarters, reflecting our overall LTA strategy and operation strategy are effective in driving our growth through the headwinds. Logistic challenges, including much longer transportation lead time and huge freight increase, resulted from COVID-19 outbreak, and the subsequent restriction measures are one of the difficulties encountered in Q2 for us. And those challenges did offset partial profits. Freight and logistics expenses start normalizing gradually from end of May, so it's much better now from logistics expenses viewpoint. Our overall utilization rate keeps improving month by month. Our 12-inch utilization rate is still very good, especially for those 12-inch advanced products. 8-inch utilization rate is very good too. Small diameters below less than 150 millimeter is not as good as 12-inch and 8-inch. Now let me make some comments on our overall cash flow analysis. GWC cash flow from operation in the first half 2020 reached US dollar 208 million. And our cash as of end of June was still over 1 billion US dollar. These reflect our very good operation strategy and emphasize the strength of our business model and financial modes. GWC cash dividend of 25 NT per share will be distributed this Friday or August 7th. Again, this dividend payout ratio is as high as 79.7%. Total payout this time is as high as 10.88 billion NT dollar or US dollar 367 million. Our next dividend payout for the first half 2020 net income will be made in Q1 2021. As we presented last time, starting from this year, we will make two dividend payouts every year, so once every 6 months. And basically, it will be starting from Q1 2021. The second dividend payout for second half 2020 will be made in Q3 2021. Okay, let me make some comments about our outlook for the second half 2020. We expect second half 2020 to further stabilize and close out second half 2020 flat or slightly up versus first half 2020. That's our view because of the unprecedented levels of government financial aid has already been pumped into economics much faster than in all the crises before. Semiconductor industry is expected to hurt less by pandemic, much lower than the other industries, as it is essential to keep the society functioning. So our view is for semiconductor industry, fundamental growth drivers was not changed by the pandemic. The pandemic itself is actually accelerating drivers related to cloud as remote work, remote study, remote education, and all the remote activities become more widespread and normalized. In addition to the above mentioned boost from work from home, education from home, and 5G and AI are the drivers for long-term growth of semiconductor industry. However, automotive business is still very challenging now. It's, matter of fact, automotive business is the most difficult category for us in the first half of this year. However, I think it has already hit the bottom in May. We start seeing more and more growth and improvement from automotive customers. And I think that it will gradually bottom out from Q3. So here I have some further updates on our ongoing production projects. The very first one, ongoing production project I would like to update is for our 12-inch epi wafer expansion in Taiwan, Taisil. Taisil will have 12-inch advanced epi wafer expansion. You know very well that 12-inch advanced epi wafer is one of the fastest growing market in semiconductor silicon wafer section due to the downsize of miniaturization of the process like 7 nano, 5 nano, 3 nanometer and even further lower. And also 12-inch advanced epi wafer is good for lightweight, low power consumption and high speed computing as well. So Taisil new epi expansion will start ramping up from 2022. Total capacity, new capacity from this expansion will be around 90,000 wafers per quarter. And the second ongoing production I would like to update is for our 12-inch polished wafer expansion in Korea. We call Korea Fab 2. Tools moving has already been completed, but field fine-tuning is is a bit delayed due to a lot of lockdown, border closure, and the long quarantine time required in various nations. So we aim to mass production by Q4 this year. And the third section I would like to update is for silicon carbide and gallium nitride. GWC established a compound semiconductor research center with NCTU, which is one of the very best universities in Taiwan, to accelerate the process development of 6-inch and 8-inch compound materials, including silicon carbide and gallium nitride on silicon carbide or gallium nitride on silicon. The benefits and synergy of this R&D center are to foster talents and scientists for this strategic product, and to construct compound wafer supply chain, also construct the compound wafer supply chain in Taiwan. So we are very confident that in the next several years, compound semiconductor business will have very good, very healthy CAGR, even higher than silicon wafer. So that's all of my summaries and quick presentation. William will present further details of our Q2 2020 and also the whole first half 2020 overall operation performance to everyone. Thanks again for participating in this conference. Thank you very much. William, please.
Thank you, Doris. Now, let me share some page of industry overview first. Please turn to page 7, World Economy Projection. All major countries' economies are projected to contract in 2020, with the exception of China, only 1% in 2020. However, it is estimated that all major countries' economy will recover in 2021. Page 8. Worldwide semiconductor market forecast. Analysts expect the world semiconductor market to be up by 3.3% to $426 billion in 2020, accelerating to 6.2% in 2021, driven by double-digit growth of memory. Page 9. Semiconductor fabs log record spending in 2021. According to SEMI report, 2021 global fab equipment spending forecast with 24% growth to a record $67.7 billion. That is 10% higher than the previous forecast. Page 10. Global silicon wafer area shipments. Worldwide silicon wafer area shipments rose 7.9% to 3.2 billion square inches in 2Q20. And the surplus 2Q19 shipments by 6%. Next, from page 11 to 15, are addressing on the compound materials. As known, compound materials leverage many important advantages over traditional silicon technology, conveniently exploited to fabricate ultra-performance power devices. They will play a crucial role in the future of electronics, owing to its potential in boosting power handling capability with better efficiency. Page 11, power and compound fab spending rebounds in second half 20. Global fab equipment spending for power and compound devices is expected to rebound in second half 20 and jump 59% to a segment record $6.9 billion in 2021. Page 12, power and compound capacity and count of facilities. In 2019, there were 804 facilities with 8 million wafer per month capacity in 200 millimeter equivalent wafers. By 2024, 38 new facilities will begin operation. Capacity grows 20% to 9.7 million wafers per month. Page 13, compound semiconductor, silicon carbide, and gallium nitride. In the right-hand chart, comparing to traditional silicon wafers, all compound materials, silicon carbide, gallium nitride, and gallium arsenide, have better operating performance in breakdown voltage, electron saturation velocity, electromobility, that offering higher capability of heat management and charge capability. Page 14, how silicon carbide and gallium nitride capture market shares over incumbent silicon technologies. From the chart, comparing to traditional silicon wafers, silicon carbide and gallium nitride materials can be operating in much higher switching power and higher frequency environment. Major applications in EV, high-speed train, wind power, PV inverters, and power plant. Page 15, silicon carbide and gallium nitride power semiconductor market forecast. Silicon carbide and gallium nitride power semiconductors is forecasted to rise to $854 million by the end of 2020, past $1 billion in 2021, and to increase at a double-digit annual rate to $5 billion by 2029. Following pages, pages 16 to page 19, are about 5G market status and outlook, also worldwide subscription projection. As now, there are so many networks, the newest and advanced application building on the 5G platform, such as EV, AI, IoT, and so on, that will drive up the significant net demands of semiconductor devices, including silicon carbide, gallium nitride compound material as well. Therefore, it is for sure that semiconductor wafers demand will be growing up with worldwide 5G rolling out progress simultaneously. Now, let's move to page 21, 2Q20 performance update. Page 21, 2Q20 financial highlights. About 2Q20 financial performance, a story highlight right now, given the logistic challenges result from COVID-19 outbreak and the subsequent restriction measures offset partial profits, GlobalWafers still reached 2Q20 profitability edged up and beats last three quarters, and the net profit 24.8% hit company record. Robust demand for work from home and medical electronics make 2Q better than 1Q. Revenue 13.7 billion NT dollars with QOQ 1.4%. EBITDA 5.6 billion NT dollars with QOQ 11.8%. EBIT 4.3 billion NT dollars with QOQ 13%. Good profit despite of COVID-19. Gross margin 38.6% with QOQ 2.1%. Operating profit percentage 30.9% with QOQ 2.7%. Net profit percentage 24.8% with QOQ 3.5%, its best ever. EPS 7.81 NT dollars with QOQ 1.19 NT dollars. For financial leverage, we have sufficient cash position, 32.1 billion NT dollars. Also prepayment, 18.5 billion NT dollars on hand. Page 22, QOQ financial highlights, 2Q20 versus 1Q20. In this QOQ comparison table, as previous pages stated, GlobalWafers reached all better Q2 financial results than Q1 in revenue plus 1.4%, EBITDA plus 11.8%, EBIT plus 13%, operating profit plus 11.2%, net profit plus 18%, EPS plus 1.19 NT dollars, ROE plus 1.4%, and ROA plus 1.2%. Page 23, YOY financial highlight, 2Q20 versus 2Q19. For YOY comparison, given the 2Q20 result is much better than 1Q20. However, it is still not as good as 2Q19 because market continued erosion in year 2019 and the COVID-19 impacting in 2020. Page 24, financial highlight. First half 20 versus first half 19. For the half year comparison, first half 20 versus first half 19. Same as last page, YOY comparison. Because the market continued erosion in year 2019 and COVID-19 impacting in 2020, first half 20 financial result is still softer than first half 19. Page 25. Financial highlight, first half 20 versus second half 19. Although first half 20 results is softer than first half 19 in last page, comparing to the latest half year, second half 19, first half 20 had improved financial results better than second half 19. That showed the semiconductor industry had recovered from 2019 year-end cycle bottom. Page 26, revenue and gross margin. Given market is still impacted by COVID-19 and with higher logistical costs, 2Q20 gross margin still increased 2.1% from 36.5% in 1Q20 up to 38.6% in 2Q20. That is the best among the latest four quarters. This increase in second quarter gross margin is mainly attributed by the first, product mixing, with higher percent of bigger diameter, especially from 12-inch wafers. The second, better ASP. We have more shipment of advanced node, higher ASP products shipped in this quarter. Page 27. EBITDA and EPS. For EBITDA, we also significantly improved from 37.1% in 1Q20 into 40.9% in 2Q20. The first half 20 EBITDA reached to 39%. That is the same high level as year 2019 company record. 2Q20 EPS 7.81 NT dollars. Is much better than 1Q20 $6.62. Besides, the first half 20 EPS 14.42 NT dollars is also better than second half 19.14.33 NT dollars. Page 28, financial leverage. By first half 20, GlobalWafers continuously keep sufficient cash as high as 32.1 billion NT dollars on hand. In this quarter, we had reduced 4.7 billion NT dollars bank loan. At the same time, we have been efficiently using our restricted cash for the Taiwan Advanced Node Products Epi Fab expansion to be getting more than 90,000 Epi wafer per quarter within 2 years. This restricted cash portion was defined for overseas size enhanced cash while back to Taiwan headquarters to enjoy Taiwan tax benefits. The LTA prepayment amount is 18.5 billion NT dollars, which is around 1 billion NT dollars decreasing in Q2. That is a similar amount decreasing trend comparing to Q1. Page 29, dividend payout. As early announcement, we had decided to keep same high dividend payout policy, 25 NT dollars, 79.7% payout ratio to be paid on August 7. Please also note that we have demonstrated our commitment to give back to shareholders with a payout ratio of nearly 80% for 7 consecutive years since 2013. Page 30, smoothing out the shareholders' dividend stream. As Doris mentioned right now, GWC will change dividend distribution from once per year into once every 6 months. The dividend distribution schedule will be first half 20 dividend to be paid in 1Q21, second half 20 dividend to be distributed in 3Q21. Page 31, income statement. In this income statement, just recap. GlobalWafers reached all better Q2 financial results than Q1. And the 2Q20 net profits, 24.8%, is company record high. Page 32, balance sheet. In this balance sheet, just highlight, the short-term loan reduced to $4.7 billion. The inventory is still well managed within $7 billion. Next, page 33 to 37 for ESG highlights. Responsible growth is our principle in business practice. Global Wafers aims at being at the forefront of global responsibility in the aspect of environment, health and safety, and corporate governance. Page 34, sustainable environment electricity. Global Wafers optimization group-wide electricity consumption has helped us improve operating profit by 14.8% in 3 years. Page 35, improvement on electricity consumption. Although Inga growing and the wafering consume a great deal of energy, Global Wafers dedicates in enhancing energy efficiency and achieves same revenue with less energy. That is 24% improving from 2017 to 2019. Page 36, ESCO business practice. We achieved the compliance with local legal requirements and international standards. We formulated the guidelines to be observed by all directors, managers, and staff members. We set up a grievance system to prevent dishonesty and protect whistleblowers to the fullest extent possible. We also established the risk assessment mechanism, analyzed and evaluated periodically. Page 37, diversity and inclusion. Global Wafers is committed to supporting gender equity, advancing women in the workplace globally. Women in our global workforce is 24% overall, 14% on our board. Above is my presentation, thank you. Next, I would like to hand over to Doris and Sunny for the Q&A session. Doris, please.
Thank you, William.
Thank you, Doris and Willem. Now let's begin the Q&A session. Please limit your question to two at a time. Now let me kick off the session with two questions from my side, if I may. So number one, for second half, I think you are guiding for revenue to be flat to up half on half. In comparison, I think some of your peers are expecting second half to come down slightly. Wonder where are you seeing upside into second half, and also how should we think about the gross margin for second half?
We think that there are several sections. First of all, in the first half, automotive was extremely bad, but we are seeing some improvement from end of May or June timeframe. We do see some improvement from automotive, so we believe that second half automotive demand will slightly improve, gradually improve quarter by quarter. So this is the first factor we think it will improve a little bit. And the second point is that 300 millimeter definitely demand will be still very strong. And a very special point of Global Wafer for 300 millimeter is that we will have new capacity available in Korea from the second half. Our goal was to ramp up our new capacity in Korea from Q3, but due to COVID-19, the fine tuning has been delayed a little bit. We try our best to accelerate the fine tuning, but I think by Q4 this year, I think we should be able to run at least 3/4 of 75% of our full capacity in Korea in Q4. So that will be an additional capacity, additional revenue from for Global Wafers. And 8-inch, we think that 8-inch demand will be still stable. So that's our view for now. Thank you.
Got it, thank you. So my second question is regarding your Korean new fab. So you just mentioned 75% utilization rate for Q4. So that's on the full capacity of about, I think, 164K for Q4, for the full quarter?
Yes, full capacity for our fab in MKC is 176,000 wafers a month. So I think we should be able to run somewhere around 75% of the whole capacity. That's current plan. Of course, if COVID-19, if the situation is getting a bit worse than our expectation, maybe that will be, the percentage will be slightly lower than 75%.
Got it. And just a very quick follow-up. For this new fab, how does its pricing and gross margin compare with the corporate average?
I would say that would be same or very close to our average 300 millimeter ASP wise. Gross margin wise may be slightly lower than our average gross margin because of the depreciation, because that's a new capacity, so depreciation will be higher than the other fabs, 300 millimeter gross margin.
Got it, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure. Operator, would you please open the system for Q&A?
Thank you. Your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question on the audio, please key star then one on your telephone. So just to remind you to ask a question on the audio, please key star then one on your telephone. Thank you. We have a question on the audio. It comes from the line of Harsh Lu from Credit Suisse. Please proceed, Harsh. You're live on the call.
Hi, Doris, William. Congratulations on the good results, and thanks for taking my questions. The first question I would like to ask is on your profitability and LTA. So on the gross margins, could you discuss the factors that lifted gross margins by 2% in Tokyo on similar sales scale? And do you think that will sustain into second half? And for OPEX, I think you managed your OPEX quite well, down 6% quarter-on-quarter, following a 13% decline in first quarter, while your sales is pretty flat. What should we model for the OPEX in the coming quarters? And do you think your customers are negotiating the new LTA, since it is very important to your margin sustainability? Thank you.
Okay. Our Q2 gross margin 2% higher than Q1. And main reason for this is actually product mix plays a very important role for this ASP improvement. You know, in general, our 6-inch or small diameter wafers ASP is much lower, gross margin is much lower. And you know, starting from Q2 this year, I think product mix wise, 300 millimeter product mix, the weight of 300 millimeter, especially advanced 300 millimeter, is much higher than small diameter. So gross margin wise means that higher gross margin product has higher weight. So that's why our gross margin in the second half, in the second quarter, was slightly higher than Q1. This is the promise is the first reason, and the second reason for a bit higher gross margin is because of some financial support in Taiwan due to COVID-19. You know, in Taiwan, due to COVID-19, government supports some financial aids for labor cost and electricity costs and some other benefits. Not big, but that's a part of the reason of our Q2 improvement as well. These two are the main reasons for our slight improvement in Q2. And what about second half? Will the gross margin remain like Q2? I think it's still a bit too early for us to say, because it's pretty much product mix related. And as I said earlier, that starting from Q4, we will have more revenue and capacity from our new fab in Korea. So that means that starting from Q4, I think our depreciation will be slightly higher. That definitely will be some impact to our gross margin as well. Of course, gross margin will be stable or good, but gross margin percentage-wise may be slightly affected. It's a bit too early to talk about this, but I think according to our current estimation, definitely Q4 we will have more depreciation than the first half of this year.
Please go ahead.
Did I miss any of your questions?
Yeah, just a quick follow up on your OPEX, because your OPEX was down 6% in 2Q and also down 13% in 1Q already.
Yes.
So just wondering, how would you manage your OPEX going forward?
I think that's one of the strengths of GWC. GWC expenses control and cost control are two very important index of all of our operation head. So our OPEX is always very stable. And we think that the second half of this year, OPEX should be still somewhere very close to this level. This is our normalized number, so it's quite okay. And another very important operation index is our inventory. If you check our inventory, you'll see that our inventory is very stable as well. As of end of June, our inventory was still below 7 billion NT. That's very, I think I'm very satisfied with this result as well during the headwinds. So OPEX, I think our second half OPEX will be quite close to first half.
Okay, got it. Just a quick follow-up on the financial support back on the margins. May I clarify how much the financial support from the government helped your gross margins in 2Q?
Lower than 100 million NT.
Got it. So my second question would be on your capacity expansion plan. On the Taisil expansion in Taiwan, how much capex do you expect to invest in the 90K wafer per quarter epi wafer capacity? And will it be a greenfield investment, or you just need to acquire epi wafer machine and you can leverage your existing capacity in Taiwan?
We need some construction as well. It's still in our campus, Taisil campus. We have some spare space. So we built a new building, extended building, and clean room and DI water system for our new fab. So our total capex for this new capacity is, of course, we need to buy new epi reactors as well. And so the total spending is somewhere around 100 million in US dollar.
Okay, got it. So what's the split between the equipment versus the facility?
I don't have the detail with me for now. William can provide you a little bit more detail if you need it. Please send William an email. William will give you a bit more details of this breakdown.
Okay, thank you so much. I'll be back in the queue.
Thank you very much for your questions. By the way, let me highlight one thing. I forgot one very important point for the second half. That's a potential unexpected potential impact to our gross margin and profitability in the second half. That's the foreign exchange rate. So far, it's still very volatile. And NT dollar is very strong. And you know, most of our revenue is in US dollars. So, for example, when you see our Q2 revenue growth versus Q1, the performance in our functioning currency is in NT dollars. So based on our financial result, the growth was 1.something% versus Q1. But actually, if it's in US dollars, it's more than 2%. It's around 2.5% growth, Q2 versus Q1 revenue-wise. So, I mean, the second half, if you ask me, that was my major concern for the second half overall profitability. I think I would say that FX exchange rate, that is my concern. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Sebastian Hull from CLSA. Please proceed, Sebastian. You're live in the call.
Thank you for taking my questions. So, So my first question is, can you give us some update about how you see your customers' wafer inventory situation at this point? Thank you.
Okay, this is a very important question. We keep asking our customers very closely almost every month as well. First of all, it's not that easy for us to really understand that what's the percentage of their total. We know their DOIs, but we don't really know that how much of the inventory is wafer inventory. I would say that for now, wafer inventory is still a little bit high because of their contingency plan for the COVID-19. So wafer inventory for most of our customers is still a little bit high, but it is not as crazy high as the so-called super cycle period of time that everyone was so concerned about, the wafer shortage. So at that time, inventory was much higher. And if you, I think maybe many of you remember that last year, Q2 last year, in our earnings conference, we expressed that the industry inventory will start coming down from Q2 last year. And actually, we did see the inventory reduction from Q2 last year. So, compared with last year, Q2 last year, I think right now the inventory level, the DOI is still a bit healthier than Q2 last year. That's our view.
Okay, thank you. So do you expect the customers to lower the inventory back to normal level, or they will strategically still keep those high given the fear of supply chain disruption?
I think so far we think that they will keep the inventory high for two reasons. One is the fear of the second wave COVID-19, or how many more months the pandemic will be lasting. This is the first reason that they will keep the inventory high. And the second reason I think that they will not easily lower the inventory was because everyone, all of our customers, are expecting a rebound, business recovery from next year. So if you check the wafer shipment in Q2, actually wafer shipment volume for 12-inch has already returned to 6.5 million wafers a month. That's pretty much the peak of the shipment of the industry, 12-inch wafers. So many of our customers, many of our customers are expecting to see the recovery, the market rebound, GDP rebound next year. So that means that more wafers will be needed. But matter of fact, this year, not so many companies had any capacity expansion. So I think that's why we think that they will keep the wafer level like where they are today. I don't think that they will drastically have any inventory correction for now. But of course there is some I hope that won't happen, but in some possible situation that they will correct the inventory is that if COVID-19, if the situation is really very bad, that means that they don't wave two or more lockdown again, re-lockdown again. If that situation happened, then maybe some of our customers will consider that maybe the whole GDP rebound, the whole global macroeconomic recovery will not happen very soon. So then maybe they will re-evaluate that if the DOI level is appropriate. So far, we are quite confident that most of our customers will keep the inventory level like this, like now.
Got it. Thank you, Charlie. So that leads to my second question. So if customer is worried, on one hand worried about the supply chain disruption, on the other hand worried about want to prepare, get prepared for the demand rebound potentially into 2021. So in your recent discussion with the customers, Do you sense they are worried about the potential raw wafer supply shortage into next year? And how does that imply on the pricing outlook in the second half of this year in 2021? Thank you.
Yes, that's very important question. We do see some requests from our customers to commit our supply or our capacity allocation for 2021. But those concerns or those concerns of the future supply is mainly for advanced device, or if I make it more clear, it's mainly for 300mm epi. So that is the tightest category. The other area like 8-inch and 6-inch, no, so far we haven't seen any customers worrying about the supply shortage. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's all for me.
Yeah. Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Morris Chow. Unfortunately, your name has not been recorded. Please see Morris. You're live in the call.
Thank you. This is Maurice Chan from Pinpoint Asset Management. I'd like to understand for your Korea fab in 2021, what do you expect for the full year depreciation?
The depreciation amount, I need to check just a second. Yeah, we will check depreciation. Could you please send William an email? We will reply to you by email. We don't have specific MKC Fab 2 depreciation amount.
Is it around $50 million each a year? Is it sort of the ballpark number, you think?
No, I'm sorry, I don't have the number with me.
Okay, that's fine.
Maurice, could you...
The other thing I'd like to understand is, yeah, I understand the gross margin would be affected by depreciation. So if you were to look at EBITDA margin, do you expect the Korean fab would be accretive to your margin, or how does it trend? Because it's all high-end. Is it accretive to your EBITDA margin?
Yeah, I think our EBITDA margin will increase, definitely, because of the revenue increase and... And right now, basically, we will be fully loaded. The only reason we are not fully loading our line in Korea is because of the fine-tuning. So I think our gross margin percent maybe will be a little bit lower, but our gross margin and EBITDA will both increase.
Can you maybe give us a little bit more color in terms of NAND flash and DRAM, just, you know, from the polished wafer angle? What are you seeing right now?
Well, first of all, I think that from the market prices viewpoint, it seems that the memory price, I mean the end product price, is weak now. But from customers' demand viewpoint, so far it's still quite stable from our viewpoint. I think the main one of the reason for this is that all of our capacity, all of our memory related business, are basically most of them are under our LTA protection. So that's why that for us, we don't really see too much fluctuation on the demand from memory. But I know that the customers are, the end product price is softening now.
Right, and most of this LTA that cover memory would last for how long?
For the new fabs, those LTA contracts are over 5 years. Five more years.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Okay. That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maurice.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Thurston Lee from Goldman Sachs. Please see Thurston. You're live in the call.
Hello, hi, good evening, Chairlady Doris and William. Congrats on the great result. I think just one thing, follow up on one of Sebastian's early question. Could we just talk about the LTA structure and utilizations for our, you know, by 8-inch and 12-inch?
Yes, our LTA structure, first of all, our LTA structure is fixed price, fixed volume for the whole, for a fixed period of time, but flexible on the parts. So for example, we have fixed price on each part, but every quarter they can choose that I want to buy this part. My promise is a little bit different. So, but the total volume, the price and revenue of the LTA, all of those details are fixed. That's our basic structure of our LTA. And another factor very important for our LTA is prepayment. We have all of our LTAs are with a meaningful prepayment. That's our structure. And most of the LTAs are 2 to 3 years, except the new capacity, newly built, new capacity. New capacity means that the capacity like our Korea capacity, those new capacity, for those new capacities, we always request LTAs for more than 5 years. Please know that I'm not talking about 5 years, I'm talking about more than 5 years. So that's our structure.
Great, yeah. And then just on the second half of this year, I think we're having that sort of the drop off with the first batches of LTA. Can we just talk about how that's, if that's trending backwards or starting to trend backwards, starting fourth quarter perhaps? You know, obviously 300 millimeter side, you've got the Korean fab.
Our 300 millimeter, I think first of all, I missed one of your questions earlier. You were asking about our utilization.
Oh, yeah.
Different diameter.
Yeah, utilization.
So, yeah, 12 inch, all of our 12 inch lines are fully loaded, except some very unique process, which is a very small part of our process. So except that very unique process, basically the whole 12-inch lines are running 24/7. So it's very, very full. And we expect that the second half of this year, 300 millimeter line will be still very, very full. And 200 millimeter lines, most of our 200 millimeter lines are full, except some epi capacity, because our epi capacity is huge, so our epi capacity is not fully loaded. It's slightly lower than 90% epi only, but the other 200 mm, most of our 200 millimeter lines are full, very, very full. We run 24/7 as well. For a small diameter, is much worse than the others. It's somewhere around 70% in Q4, but Q3 is very full as well. Q4 is still, visibility is not very good yet for 6-inch wafer, but for Q3 we are quite okay. So that's the answer to your question. And could you please repeat the last question you asked about Q4 LTA? So you were asking about LTA, or
yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about that. I think just my last question. I think I know it's early. We're only halfway through 2020, but is it possible to give us a rough view on what you're looking in terms of the industry pulls and demand pulls and pushes in next year? And what do you think? How do you think about that? Potentially the demand coming back up and the wafer industry getting back potentially into the you know, fully loaded or even shortage area. Can we comment? Can we just give a little color on that? Thank you.
Yes, I think for 2021, the industry, semiconductor industry, will be very good unless COVID-19 is so much worse than we are expecting now. If everything is under control, then we think 2021 the best pool is that 5G and the new phones, new mobile phones, that those two will be very strong drivers for the growth for 2021. So automotive this year is very, very bad. So we start seeing some recovery gradually from the second half of this year. So we believe that next year automotive will be much better than this year. And also we think that the third item, which I think will be very strong, is power device. Power device, especially high power, high frequency, those applications from compound will be much stronger than this year. So in general, our view is that 2021 should be strong, should be very good for semiconductor. But our concerns, we have three concerns for 2021. That's the potential worries for 2021. One is that the pandemic, how many more quarters it will be lasting, and will that be any re-lockdown or any bad situation like this? And the second one is geopolitical issue. We really don't know that those special trade wars, how serious the situation will be developing. So that's our second concern. And the third concern, actually, I mentioned about that earlier as well. That's FX volatility. It's very hard for us to evaluate, and also it's very hard for us, very difficult for us to hedge, to fully hedge our FX. So these three are our concerns. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, and just to follow up on how that the demand reflects in versus the supply for next year. Where do we see that gap sort of even closing very in, or potentially, you know, even jumping over?
I think silicon,
on the industry level.
Yeah, for silicon wafer section, for this silicon wafer section, I think the supply demand will be very close to 2019, the first half of 2019. That's our view. And you know, first half 2019, for GWC, that was one of our very good half year. It's slightly lower than 2018, but 2019 first half is still very strong. So we think that next year's supply demand for silicon wafer in 2021 will be very good, very, very healthy. That's our view.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'll jump back to the queue. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I think it's about time, and let's wrap up here. So thank you all for joining the call, and thanks again to Doris and Willem today. This marks the end of the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Thank you.